The book of Ecclesiastes and the first verse to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There is no mortal tongue can ever enter into the Godhead. Before there was anything formed, or time ever began to run, it momently, hourly, weekly, monthly and yearly, there was a God, a triune God. And my friends, since that first day, there was something full, and God had to do with it. It came in a season appointed by Him, so that by the wise men, God gave him wisdom. Son of David, even Solomon, and as regards wisdom that God gave him, he was one of the wisest of men under the gift of God and his exercise. He was one of the richest of men. It was nothing but what he ever wanted, what was supplied. And yet, he was only what God gave him. He found in all that he possessed, there was something stamped on it, vanity. He said it's good for a man to enjoy the fruit of all his labors, no matter who they are, that belongeth to them. That's their earthly portion. He never decried his goodness to all. And my friends, here we see some of the fruit of that wisdom in the chapter before you. Not a moment to the last day, and that will never be known by men until it comes. It will come as a thief in the night. None of us will know when. Then there'll be no more days or nights. And when that cometh, from the time the first ray of light came to show the day, everything had a season to it. I shall not dwell only briefly what these seasons were. It was not Satan, the great foe of God, that took from the tree of knowledge and good and evil and gave to Eve. He didn't do it. He tempted her, and it was her hand that did it. And when her hand touched the forbidden fruit, he was a sinner. And when for the dove that the husband had to her, under the same awful temptation, they both partook of it. That was a season. That was a season, and there was a thing happened. And it happened in the sight of God who formed them. You can never sin without He knows all about it. Either in thought, or word, or deed. For He searcheth the hearts, like a candle light in a dark place, and shows us what we are. Sins still live. Blessed be resting on God. There was a time and a purpose, as well as a season, that there should be shown there would be a Redeemer. Great thing, we sing often what we cannot grasp or understand, but there was given faith. Without it, we can't hear the gospel. We cannot believe in this God. We cannot walk aright. We cannot talk aright. But my friends, there came a time when they had something to go to heaven with. And that was the forgiveness of their sins. Now what is the secret between the two offerings of Cain and Abel following soon after? That was a season, and that was a time. It was this. There was no blood sacrificed in Cain and Cain's offering. All that he offered to God was the earth and himself and his labors. That's all. God takes no notice of that. Then what was the secret that was made known to the parents as well as to Abel? It was this, the blood. No sacrifice acceptable unto God in all His holiness but the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. There lay forgiveness. There lay one are the richest of God's blessing, your sins. It may have been revealed to you by the light of God, shining into your heart and giving a day you've never had before, the day of regeneration. And then come the day when your sorrow increased because of your guilt, that the atoning blood of Christ is laid on your heart, and you have forgiveness with God. We, poor finite minds cannot grasp it. And if you have tasted forgiveness, you cannot grasp the greatness, the height, and the depth. It means this: your sins, which are many, are forgiven. How many? Well, every year adds to them. We're past 1960. Every moment, every day has yielded sin. We've carried it in our members. And if it were possible for you and me to place them together, which God knows every one, which would lie at our door if there was no atoning blood, it would try you to the very uttermost, child of good. For it would bring you to say, can ever God dwell here? And you say, what would you say was the sin without faith? And I believe there's not a child of God living that can ever say they've gone every day of the years God has given them here without knowing that faith alone is the gift of God. And it's our mercy then that there was a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all thou guilty stain. So Abel, offering of the lamb, was acceptable because faith gave him to know there must be blood. And what is blood? Your very life. Our blood dried up or turned to water, we shouldn't be long here. And what are our sins? Blood sins. Deeper than you can ever come before God perfect with. Therefore, by the faith given to Abel, he looked higher than the earth. And he had to suffer because he believed in the blood of Christ. His life was taken. I've thought sometimes, when we look back upon how our privileges have been given us as a nation, the blood of the martyrs would cry out today to see how England has gone wide away from God. It would try you and me if you were led from this chapel to a stake. Let it prove whether we have the life of God or not. That you see, whatever takes place, there's a season for it and a time. Let's go further, because it has to do with the wicked, as it has to do with the those that are made, you know, the children of God by matchless grace, where sin abound, grace much more abound. There come the flood, didn't there? They were just given in marriage as we are today. They were going about with all the pleasure of this life. And there came the flood. It had the warnings, but they have no faith to believe it. There was one believed it, because God had compared him to it. It was Noah. And so they were going along very comfortable, and then there came the flood, and eternity with it. Eternity with it, because they never lived to see the waters recede again. That was a season, and there was a deep purpose under it. And the wicked, you see, my friends, I shall be sent to hell with the nations that forget God. It's a deep solemnity. That's a, now you see, there were those hidden which God had given us the secret to salvation in the ark. And the only true worshippers was Noah, when they offered the sacrifice on dry land once more. It never once did they go under the flood. Now, there we see judgment, there we see a season, and there we see a time for a very great purpose. Now let's go further. Poor man, we are poor. You don't place your reason and wisdom before God. It's perfect foolishness. They said, let us build a tower, and we'll get right up into the heaven, and if there's ever any flood comes again. And it was only Noah that knew, that now within, that there would be no more water cover the whole earth. And so he let them build it. And let sinners with no faith build this. He knew it was a great sin against God. God knew that. And you know, it got so far with it, and it began to tumble. More than that, there was something tumbled before that. They all speak one language. They could understand each other. They had all the same wisdom. Solomon, when our wisdom leads us from God, and not to God. And my friend, they couldn't go on any longer. And that was a time of confusion. There was a great purpose, and it was under the heaven. And there is this in it, and it's very solemn. We must never go contrary to God, or he will surely go contrary to us. That I've had to prove. So that it is by grace we are saved, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. There's a purpose under him. Now you see, in the gospel, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the inspiration of the Holiness and the Spirit, Isaiah was able to speak of a language, a turn unto them, a pure language. And that's the language you'll go to heaven with. And the singular part, and the most solemn part of this language of being, none can teach you it, but the Holy Ghost. And those that have never been taught it will never understand you. Never. No more than Bunyan. And when he passed those godly women and swore at them, when they were speaking the language of grace, the language of the Holy Spirit's teaching, until the Lord smote him down, and then he was glad to listen to them. It's a pure language. It's above every language in the world. We know it's a mixed world with mixed languages. And yet if you knew every language spoken in the world, it would never give you this one. May we each know it. It's very simple. There's nothing difficult about it. Don't want human learning to teach you it. For very many that's gone to heaven with the richest of faith in their souls couldn't read nor write. Yet they were mothers and they were fathers in Israel. And I knew that sacred language in their home because it said, "Pour my spirit upon them." I knew that very poor. She lived in a poor little home. She was a cripple for life. She could not read any book. Could not read her son's letters. And yet she could read her Bible. God taught her to read her Bible and read his will and read his pleasure and read his seasons and read his times. Now as they grew in numbers, with their solemn judgments about them, he never left one day without a people that he loved. That's a wonderful thing of God. It was a season and a time to manifest whom the Father loved, who gave to his Son a people and redeemed them by his blood. So we come to Abraham. He was not to stay where he was. He had to come out of the city where he was in and the country too. And then God showed him a wonderful secret. Not only showed it him, but gave him faith to believe it. You'll never find, child of God, your lack of faith till you have something come upon you that you can't manage yourself. And oh, you'll say, "Lord, where's my faith? Where's my belief?" Where's my quietness? Where's my leaving everything to thee? Though as I but perform all things for me. As Job said in his darkest moments, he performeth all things for me. Where is it? Well, it's in the keeping of thy God, and he's bringing you to seek for it. Let us fight to do that. Yes. We have many fights among our peoples. All kinds of religion to denomination. But there's only one faith. And that is given by God. By and through the precious Son, Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Ghost. He was shown what all his seed should be. And there's nothing small in what God gives you. That's why you don't get it very often. One jewel, literally speaking, may be precious, exceeding all others. They might be very small. Might be very small, hardly perceptible. And so are God's gifts by grace in faith. And you're compelled to believe it. And you can place your hand around the gift and say, I have nothing at all to do with this. That he gave you something, the time and the season, which had to do with it altogether. And that was in the language he gave you to go before God with. As I said, it's the most simple, pressed out. When you ask him for wisdom, grace, and understanding to do what, and leaving it with him. And that's the faith of God's elect. And that's the faith of God's people, my friend. Yes, he believed it. But he had no child. Sarah had no children. How could it be that his seed should be like that? Speaking, no doubt, of the glories of all the redeemed. You shall have a son. He had more than one son. He had one son born, you see, as he could, that he would have been glad if God had blessed him. But no, my friend, he had another son, more than one son. But this son was a special gift of God. And if ever God blesses one of your sons or daughters, it's a special thing of God, my friend. It is. Ah, but there is something that's born. God has a season and a time to tell Sarah, who asked her why she laughed. That is, she disbelieved. And he said, is my arm shortened that it cannot save? My ear heavy that cannot hear? Now he says, you take that son up to the top of the mound, place him on the altar before me. That's all he told him to do. When he asks you to part with something you own most, well, what is it we old mouse who say? Your will. You've got strong wills, you know. Stronger wills than perhaps you think you have, or I have, till it comes to the trial of it. That will has to fall down to nothing. and go step by step to the trial of it, of your faith. And my friends, when that lad was laid on the altar and bound with a cord, and the knife was in the father's hand, that was one of the seasons and one of the purposes God appointed for his child. What for, say? To know he had a Jehovah Jireh. This was the secret. His son never died until the appointed time by God. And he walked down the mount with his father. His father believed and given grace to step to that time of trial. You have to offer what he gives you on the altar. Go on further, shall we? Why, the covenant of Moses, the children are still ground. We come where we know there's Egypt and Joseph and Jacob, all between, and Isaac and Jacob. God was with Joseph, he believed. But presently the Goshen was turned into a time of trouble. A day of adversity had followed the day of prosperity. What happened then? Well, they cried and looked ground under the burden, and they become very heavy and much heavier, impossible. And that's when God looked upon them, and he saw the children of Israel's tears, and he knew their burdens, and he goes into Egypt, where he preserved a babe that lay in that little ark of bulrushes. That little ark of bulrushes was a purpose and a time and a season ordered by God. And if you have that given to you to meditate a little, you'll see that the nurse to that babe would be his own mother. Although it was doomed to death. He's a mighty God, which we're talking to you about. But then I might know all this, not known for myself. I hope I know a little. Yes. Grows to stature. Something happens that he has to flee by his own hand. Is that man flying away from a furious Pharaoh for what he's done? Going to deliver my people, I've appointed him. That's a season. And so he brings him close to him. And he sees the bush fire is never consumed. And he saw the covenant of his God that brings you through many a fire, and it's never consumed. The love of God, the love of Christ, never consumed. Now you're to go for my people. I can't speak. I'll give you Aaron. I'll give you that, but you'll be my mouth. I'll give you all help. What shall I say thou art? I am that I am. That's what you're saying. I'm God. That's his sovereignty. How much of that sovereignty will it know? The little time we're spared through this coming year is in God's hands. But where his sovereignty is, to his warless people there's grace given. As thy day, thy strength shall be. And my friend, presently in the deep exercise, and religion's nothing without it. A dead religion is if you have no exercise. Exercise proves prayer, that you've got an exercise, and a watching and a praying, until that which you pray for will be given you, and it'll be given you when God sees fit. Yes. Now he says, I'm going to teach you something. I've caused all these troubles to come on the Egyptians. Now, my name will be known to you as Jehovah. I'm going to lead them. Is he leading you? Leading you in Paul should not know. Crooked ones, rough ones. Too rough for your poor feet to walk on them, Lord. Ah, my friend. He says, I'll lead them. Jehovah. Jehovah. The same God. The same God as the other said when revealed to them is the same God now to all these people. The season and the time to every purpose under heaven. We could go on, couldn't we? Throughout the old tenor of God's holy word. In the chapter I read, there's more than reading of it. It takes one without any armor on it. Not much dress to cover him. And yet he had something given him that he never forgot. And it was God who delivered him from the paw of the lion and the bear. Shall not this God deliver me from thee to a giant? That requires great grace when you've got some giants about. They seem to loom over you with all their armor as if they're going to destroy you. Bless his holy name, he takes this one from the field to you. Takes him down to the brook, lets him gather up 5 stones, a sling, and a bag. And that was the purpose of God, to give him faith to believe it. He was one of the bravest men that ever stood on this earth. At that time he was a youth. And if you were prepared to say no in time of temptation by the same grace and faith, that shows there's something working in you, your faith. Takes a lot to say it sometimes. Temptation's everywhere about, especially in the day in which we live. Well, we need that. What sealed that as a season? And a time under the heaven, is there not a cause? Brethren never thought much of it. They thought it was pride. They didn't know the secret. And though they reproached him, that never altered what God said. Oh no, now. If you walk humbly for your God, it don't matter all the reproaches you get, they fall down like the army of the Philistines. Do. And when you seem to get one come up against you above all the rest, it may be circumstances of life, may be adversities, it may be men, it may be that which you've no power, you go. And he sends you and gives you a portion there, and then you can go. If He gives you a word, you can go. And that word will prevail, but it comes from heaven. Ah, my friend. One stone and one little spot in the forehead, which all his armor never covered up. And that's how God had teach you in some of his teachings with you, where you thought the next thing happened would be for your arm, perhaps ruin. But there's a little stone and it cuts the giant down. Oh, I do miss those old experimental people. I was brought up with them. They were my fathers in Israel. They weren't afraid to tell you what they thought of you. They wouldn't be afraid if they thought you was a bit proud to tell you you're full of pride. But today, you see, there's not the depth, not the conflicts. There will be in thy soul and mine still while we are here. I have found that many that spoke to me when I was young in the way, their words today is a gorge to my poor soul. I haven't forgot some of them. It was not putting one another right. It was telling you where you were in the sight of God. Ah, my friend. There's a purpose under it. And there's a purpose before I sit down with all that God has to deal with. And there's a purpose in what we've entered this year with what is proposed we hope and believe in the fear of God. We've only to go outside to see what it is. Is it a season? Is it a time? Is it when God will appear? If you gather, he's given you faith, he'll try it. But let me tell you, the gold and the silver and the cattle upon a thousand hills and the hearts of all men are in the Lord's hands. In the Lord's hands. Have you ever took a sum of money in your hand and saw the Lord in it? And touch your heart that he should remember you. Day of more plenty today. I remember the first £5 note put into my hand at Guildford by Mr. Shillingford. He was on the committee. Now you won't know this. My dear wife wanted a hat and a dress. I hadn't enough money to get it. You mightn't have that trouble. It was a time and a season. The dress was sent from a Cotswold by no one that knew where we were. He was going to place it just as it made for her. And she had this ringing in her ears, send this to Mrs. Hope. He found out her address. God knew where we lived. He knows where you live. And while returning from Croydon with the first £5 note I ever held in my hand, someone threw a rat box in the carriage just as the train was going out with my name on it, and there was the hat from a milliner's shop. Some have said, did it fit? Well, if God gives you anything, it's all right. So we don't come before you what we read of other people. No. We come to tell you, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And then there'll be a time when you'll gather up these particular places, because they're never forgotten. He'll bring you shelf, remember, all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. Mind. I don't wish any of our young people to tread that path. Now, God knows best for you what you should tread. We had to tread it, to be a college, so that we've had to go among many people. If they were all placed together and living, there'd be a great congregation. Ah, my friends, there's a time, and you might be passing through it now, where there is a time that we are now favored to enter the threshold of another year. I have one message for you from myself. May God bless you. Amen.